page 355 in the Book of Common Prayer. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Grant us so to be joined together in unity of spirit by their teaching, that we may be made a holy temple acceptable to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the second book of Samuel. After the death of Saul, when David had returned from defeating the Amalekites, David remained 2 days in Ziklag. David intoned this lamentation over Saul and his son Jonathan. He ordered that the song of the bow be taught to the people of Judah. It is written in the book of Jasher. He said, "Your glory, O Israel, lies slain upon high places. How the mighty have fallen. Tell it not in Gath. Proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon, for the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice. The daughters of the uncircumcised will exult. You mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew or rain upon you, nor bounteous fields. For there the shield of the mighty was defiled. The shield of Saul, anointed with oil, no more. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back, nor the sword of Saul return empty. Saul and Jonathan, beloved and lovely, in life and in death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you with crimson in luxury, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan lies slain upon your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Greatly beloved were you to me. Your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How the mighty have fallen, and the weapons of war perished. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read the psalm responsively by half verse. Out of the depths have I called to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice.
Let your ears consider well the voice of my supplication.
If you, Lord, were to note what is done amiss,
Lord, you could stand.
For there is forgiveness with you.
Therefore you shall be feared.
I wait for the Lord. My soul waits for him.
In his word is my hope.
My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning.
More than watchmen for the morning.
O Israel, wait for the Lord.
For with the Lord there is mercy.
With him there is plenteous redemption.
And he shall redeem Israel from all their sins.
A reading from the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. As you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in your love for us, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this is a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you, who began last year, not only to do something, but even to desire to do something, now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Christ.
When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that the power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say who touched me?" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What do you think of when you hear the word desperate? If you're a connoisseur of popular television, you might immediately think of Desperate Housewives. If not, the adage, "desperate people do desperate things," may come to mind. No matter what comes to mind, I feel fairly safe in saying that the word desperate implies a sense of urgency or even emergency. Desperation is something that thankfully does not accompany most of us on a daily basis. It conveys something unusual, a disturbed equilibrium, a high level of high stress. Merriam-Webster defines the word desperate first as having lost hope or giving no ground for hope. This dictionary further defines desperate as moved by despair, or involving or employing extreme measures in an attempt to escape defeat or frustration. And further, as suffering extreme need or anxiety, involving extreme danger or possible disaster, and finally, of extreme anxiety. The words listed as congruous but not synonymous are shocking and outrageous. This word desperate rings true for the situation we find in our readings today, especially the Gospel of Mark. We hear in Mark of two desperate situations. First, a leader of the temple, the synagogue, most often described as those in opposition to Jesus, those trying to trip him up. We hear of this leader coming to Jesus, falling at his feet and begging him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." Let me assure you that then as now, falling at someone's feet and begging is a sign of desperation. This father is at the end of his rope, and he will do whatever it takes for his daughter, which might be a bit surprising since daughters were not highly valued at that time, certainly not as much as sons. Jesus, we hear, went with him. Next, somewhat intruding in the story of Jairus and his daughter is a woman who has had hemorrhages for 12 years. She's ritually unclean. And while the term ritually unclean means absolutely nothing to us on a daily basis, it meant everything to her. She could not come in contact with anyone, or her state of uncleanness would be transferred to them. She was an outcast, a pariah. And again, we cannot have a full understanding of what sort of existence this is like. But to give us an inkling, it would be as though you were suddenly invisible. No one could see you or speak to you or interact with you. If you went to Winn-Dixie, the clerk would not ring you up because you're not there. The bank teller would not cash your check or make your deposit because you're not there. For this woman, not only was the physical drain of the hemorrhage enough to wear her down, but the cultural implication of this was devastating. She'd gone to many physicians, tried every lotion, tonic, potion, and incantation to no avail. The bleeding would not cease, but her existence seemed to. She was there, still alive, still a feeling human being, but no one seemed to notice. She was desperate. And as we know, desperate people do desperate things. Jairus did, and this forever unnamed woman did as well. We do not want to be desperate. Desperation is accompanied by a sense of being out of control. People who are desperate have that look in their eyes, the one we most often refer to as deer in headlights. Desperate people are out of control. All logical thinking is gone. Desperate people behave in desperate ways, not as those who have their faculties about them. We don't want to be desperate, and we don't want to be around people who are. Desperate people disrupt our sense of normalcy. People who are desperate are accompanied by messiness, by a frantic urge, and their messiness gets all over us and intrudes on our otherwise well-kempt lives, and we don't want that. We have too much else going on. We have other things to worry about. Jesus didn't. Desperate people drain us of our energy to do all the things we need to do. But Jesus recognized that drain as a sign of faith. When Jairus came to Jesus, desperate in his desire for his daughter to live and not die, Jesus went with him. When the unnamed woman reached out her desperate hand, she received the healing she had long searched for. Jesus recognized it as well. He felt power go from him to her, and he acknowledged her boldness, her frantic reaching out, as a sign of her faith. Those around him, his disciples, said he was nuts. They said, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" These were desperate people doing desperate things. And in their desperation, they went to Jesus, and their desperation was relieved. As you well know, it's not always that straightforward. Millions of parents have fallen at the feet of Jesus and prayed that their child not die, only to experience that horrible reality. Millions more have reached out to Jesus to be healed of a terminal illness and have still succumbed to its devastating effects. So what are we to make of this? Do we question the faith or the goodness or the virtue of the people who have not found an instant reprieve for their desperation? Certainly not. Do we question the faith or the goodness or the virtue of God or Jesus? Probably. They can handle it. We do not have an answer to that question, to the age-old question posed most publicly by the Job figure of why bad things happen, especially to good people. It seems that Jesus moved from place to place in the regions of Judea and Galilee, taking care of all those things, illness and death. But it seems that those sort of miraculous healings are not happening now. Or if they are, there is no explanation for who gets the miracle and who doesn't. My greatest sorrow as an empathetic person and a priest comes from the fact that I do not have a crystal ball nor a magic wand. So many times I just don't know, and I cannot fix it. What I do know is that Jesus is with us, that God is for us, and that his deep desire is that we be with him and for him, that we throw away our own selfish interests and encounter those who are truly desperate. We are so incredibly fortunate that we are so rarely, if ever, desperate. But when we find ourselves in desperate situations, we need to know that we can turn to each other, no matter how messy that may be. We're also called to be the body of Jesus in the world in which we live today. That means that we are called to engage with the desperate in our world, those whose only hope is us, and to go with them where they are, where they're going. It's not an easy call. It's a call to be with desperate people who do desperate things, and to allow the desperateness of our fellow walkers on this journey to enter in and transform our space. Can we truly be the body of Christ in our world? Can we give some of our power to those who are reaching out in faith to us. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through whom all things were made. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate of the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people are Form 3, found on page 387 in the Book of Common Prayer.
Father, we pray for your Holy Catholic Church.
That we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you.
That your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for Rowan, Archbishop of Canterbury, Catherine, Presiding Bishop, Henry, our Bishop, Key, our Bishop Suffragan, Lee, our Priest in Charge, for all bishops, priests, and deacons.
That they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
Lord and Giver of all, may we be open to your guidance and Holy Spirit as we continue our discernment process. For the members of our armed forces, whose task it is to defend us in danger, defend them day by day with your heavenly grace. For the whole human family, take away the arrogance and hatred which infect our hearts, break down the walls that separate us, unite us in bonds of love, and work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth. We pray for our President Barack and for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world.
That there may be justice and peace on the earth.
In the diocesan cycle of prayer, we remember Trinity Alpine, St. Matthew's in the Pines seal, our companion diocese of Haiti, and its Bishop Zache, our missionaries to Namibia, Jeremy and Penny Lucas, and all military chaplains and institutional chaplains. In the Anglican cycle of prayer, the people and clergy of Patna, North India. Give grace to do your will in all that we undertake.
That our works may find favor in your sight.
We pray for those who are sick, especially those on our grace prayer list. Dave Tooker, Bill Spidel, Dan Phillips, Breezy Finley, John Wright Lazenby, Jerry and Mary Rogers, Bill Turner, Audrey Dalhuizen, Tom Pike, Donald Arnold, Billy and Sharon Lancaster, Kayla Darby, Jason Whetstone. Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble,
that they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others.
Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, "Peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you. Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church, and give to us the peace and unity of that heavenly city. With the Father and the Holy Spirit, you live and reign now and forever.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Welcome you all here today on this beautiful summer warm day. If you are visiting with us today, I ask that you please fill out a line in the visitor's book at the back of the church so that we can learn how to better meet your needs, and I will contact you, but I promise not to bug you too much, but would like to get to know you a little bit better. So if you're visiting with us, please do sign the visitor's book in the back of the church. There are several announcements on the back of your order of service. Please do pay attention to those. I do have one correction. Crossroads Bookstore will not be open for 30 minutes today after the service. But if you need something, just see Jeannie Stanko. She will let you in. You can still buy whatever you need to buy. She's on the front pew here. And so see her if you need anything. There is lemonade, and our cookie will be cookies out in the garden after the service. Please do join us for some time to meet and greet after the service over here in the garden. Now, things that may not be on your order of service. The food pantry is in need of peanut butter and canned meat. So, once again, we have drained our resources in the food pantry. Please be generous and bring in peanut butter and canned meat. We are going to be selling Boston butts. Actually, we're selling them now to support our mission trip to Haiti. There is a sign-up sheet in the back of the church. There's also a sign-up sheet in the office wing. They will be $25 each. You can pick them up on July 3rd and have them for your 4th of July celebration. Is this correct so far, guys? Okay. Please do buy and sign those up. You won't even have to cook for the 4th of July. You can pick them up the day before and have it all done for you. I'm sad and glad to tell you that Bobby, our youth minister, Bobby Floyd, has gotten a new job. I'm very glad for Bobby. Because it's in his area, and he will be working in Georgia at Fort Stewart doing botanical stuff. You can ask him. He explained it to me. It went right over my head. So he will be leaving, but we will have a brunch in his honor on July the 12th. He may not even be aware of this, so put it on your calendar, Bobby. And it will be immediately following the 9 a.m. service. Parish Activities Committee will provide the food, but ask that you bring sweets. So if we all bring sweets, it will be a very sweet affair. Diocesan Bible School starts tonight. It's going to be wonderful. The kickoff is at 5:30. If you have not seen the decorations, kind of peek in Tyler Hall, but please don't touch them. Everybody's welcome to come to this kickoff tonight. We would love for everybody to take part and support our wonderful Vacation Bible School team. So if you would like to be a part of that, come at 5:30.
If you're a child and want to be a part of the Vacation Bible School, you really need to see Miss Christina immediately after the service, because we need you to register, so we'll make sure that you have a t-shirt and all the cool stuff that you need. We have received a total in monies for the gold, Catherine the Gold Digger, that's what I'm going to start calling her now. For our mission trip, again, if you're not aware of what I'm talking about, we're not just taking in gold, we're not, you know, changing it at the temple, but we are going to be going to Haiti, and this week we have turned in gold to the tune of $167. Catherine's convinced that there's much more gold to be dug at Grace Parish. So if you have not brought in your extra old, unused, unloved, broken gold, extracted teeth even, she said, bring it in, and we will all, the people of Haiti will really benefit from this mission trip. I think that's about it. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Take them and remember that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.